guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Kia ora, Justine.
Morena, Rachel. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Are we ready to tackle a few level one related questions? We've had a couple of those come in the last week.
Yep, absolutely.
So, yes, we might potentially be moving to level one, finding out what Cabinet's going to decide this afternoon. And someone's texted in to say, I've been working from home because I'm immunocompromised. And as we are nearing potentially going to level one, I'm anxious my boss is going to make me come in. How do I ask to stay at home?
So that's an interesting question. I would probably have a discussion around if you want to stay at home, around how productive you've been and how much it hasn't affected your work. I mean, I think at level one, everyone, you know, like we have to sort of resume some kind of semblance of normality. Well, that's the advice, you know, everyone is given. So I think framing it around your immunocompromised status probably wouldn't be something that would work with your boss, because I think he'll just say, well, it's level one. And, you know, the official advice around level one is that, you know, you can work from home if you want to, but I think, as I said, it's more returning to some kind of normality. So I would frame it around, hey, I'm really enjoying working from home and I am still anxious, which is, you know, fair enough. Mm. I think a lot of us still are. And this is what I've accomplished and this is how productive I've been and, you know, can I continue to work from home? I think that's a good way to approach it, is just talking about, you know, I mean, a lot of us have been a lot more productive at home than we would have been at the office.
Mm.
So, yeah. I would approach it like that.
Do you think there's a potential to have a conversation as well about how to maybe make wherever you work feel a bit more safe or more comfortable, even at level one, when we're kind of going back to big quote marks, some sort of normality?
Some kind of normal, yeah. Absolutely. I think that's really important. You know, like if you want to talk to your boss about that, I think that's something that you should absolutely do. And if you want to wear a mask, you shouldn't feel, you know, pressured not to because other people aren't.
Mm.
And keeping your social distance and et cetera, et cetera. So if you're able to do that at level one, I think, and you're feeling like, you know, like, I think that's something that definitely you could talk to your boss about. To see, well, like, think about what would make you feel safe.
Mm.
And if it's social distancing and wearing a mask, et cetera, that's also a conversation I would have. And I would hope that a good boss would understand, you know, that's actually a really responsible and good thing to do, to set that up for people.
Exactly. You might find out you're not the only person at work feeling like that as well.
Exactly.
Seems to be the way. We've got a text in from someone who said, I work at a restaurant. They're only giving me 15 hours a week, so I need to get another job to make more money, but my boss won't commit to giving me the same days each week, which makes it hard for me to find time to work another job. Is there anything I can do to make sure I've got set days at my restaurant job? I feel like a lot of hospo people have had this problem.
So I would check your contract in case there's any specific days set out in your contract. It's likely that there isn't based on what you're saying, but I would still just quickly check your contract. If you've worked, and this again doesn't sound like it's this person's experience, but if you've worked consistently, like say you've worked for a year Thursdays, you've always worked Thursdays, and suddenly your boss is changing your hours, even if it's not in your contract, that is the custom and practice, your pattern of working, so they can't just change it without unilaterally, without talking to you first. So that's something else. Like if you've worked a consistent pattern for a long period of time, you can make that argument, and actually that change has to be by agreement. This person's situation sounds a little bit more complicated. It sounds like they have been working kind of varied days. And so it's disappointing that your boss won't commit to giving you, you know, like the same shifts, because it's not reasonable for your boss to give you 15 hours of work a week and expect you to not have a second job and to be able to work around that. So I think you would be in a position, because there's no set hours, to say, well, I can't, to refuse to do shifts. But that also puts you in a bit of a precarious situation. I mean, I would have one more conversation and say, can we put it down in writing? This is only 15 hours. I can't live on 15 hours. So if, like, you know, if I do continue to work, I do need it, some kind of stability in terms of when I work. But it sounds to me that this person should probably be looking for another job, because I just don't feel that it's reasonable for your boss to not commit to that, given that they're only offering the amount of hours they're offering. I mean, how are you supposed to work around that? That sounds really difficult.
Yeah. That does sound like a difficult one. So I hope that goes well for you, Texter. We've just had a text come in, Justine, from someone who wants to know which union represents Auckland truck drivers. Do you happen to know?
I do know that. First Union. They represent transportation workers. So First Union.
First Union, that's the place to go. We've also got just a couple more questions here. What are the laws around breaks at work? I'm a bit confused about what I'm entitled to.
So it depends how long of a day you work, but if you work a normal 8-hour shift, you're entitled to a half an hour lunch break and two tea breaks, up to 10 to 15 minutes. If you work a 12-hour shift, I believe that can be longer. If you work a shorter shift, you might only be entitled to, a shorter shift you're entitled to, so on the four hour mark is when you'd be entitled to a half-hour break, I believe. You are entitled to that half-hour break for an 8-hour shift is really important, and then those tea breaks as well. And that's something that was reinstated by the Labor government that National actually took away. They took away our tea breaks.
That is interesting. We've also got one more question here, which is coming from a texter who says, if my company gives me a laptop or phone, what are the rules around monitoring software they can install? Do they have to disclose that? And also, what are the rules around my boss being able to read my work emails?
So this is a really interesting question because privacy law hasn't really grappled with the fact that these new technologies of surveillance are kind of now in the workplace and employers are able to monitor employees to a much larger extent than they ever would have been able to in the past, especially with, you know, emails and, you know, with GPS surveillance in cars and things like that. So there's a variety of ways. And to be honest, like, privacy law hasn't really caught up with the technology. So to answer your question, as far as I know, that the employer doesn't have to tell you really anything. They are able to monitor your emails because that's their intellectual property, the email. So, if you're wanting to do something that you don't want your boss to see, I wouldn't use the work email, is my advice.
And hopefully privacy law will catch up quick.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know. Thank you very much, Justine. Always a pleasure. And thank you guys for texting in your questions as well over the last week and this morning. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Yeah, sounds good.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Yeah, take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.
Thank you very much.